They can't do anything. If they weren't physically healthy, they're looked upon basically as a waste. A waste of food, a waste of space, a waste of everything. They couldn't really go out and get a job. They couldn't really support themselves. So they would basically just come and wait around this pool all day. They weren't contributing to society the way we think of contributing to society. They basically had to live off the goodness of strangers. And so they would spend all day at this pool waiting. Today, we give extra attention, special treatment to people with disabilities. But back then, they were treated basically like a waste, like garbage. And depending on what was wrong with them, people wouldn't even touch them or even come near to them. If you had leprosy, no one would come near to you because Jewish law said that you would become unclean if you touched a leper. And also because they thought that if they touched a leper, they would get leprosy. So sick, injured, disabled people were treated like garbage. They had nothing else to do, so why not sit around the pool and hope that they might be healed when the angel comes and touches the water? For the most part, they didn't have friends who cared about them. They didn't have work to do. Maybe the odd family member who checked up on them once in a while. So why not spend the whole day at the pool waiting? But on this day, it's Jesus who comes to this pool. And he comes across a man that we're told has been ill for 38 years. NIV translates it as invalid, but the original Greek means ill. We don't really know what his problem was. But based on the fact that he can't move himself into the pool himself, we assume that he is an invalid. The one thing we do know is that he has been in this condition for 38 years. That's a long time. We don't know if he was born that way or if something happened to him. But 38 years with this condition, not being able to move. Imagine that. Half the people here don't even know what 38 is. You guys think like, wow, that's so old. The other half are like, wow, I miss 38. This man has been like this for 38 years. Average life expectancy at that time was around 35 to 38 years. So if he was born with it, his entire life he's been like this. If this happened after, he's past the average expectancy, yet he's still like this for 38 years. And now here comes Jesus. Jesus sees this man lying there and he asks him, "Do you want to be whole?" Again, NIV translates that as well, but the original Greek means whole. Do you want to be whole? I remember reading this when I was younger and I remember thinking, why would Jesus even ask that? Why would Jesus even ask? Of course he wants to be whole. Of course he wants to be well. He's been like this for 38 years. He's been sick. He can't move. Of course he wants to be well. Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be well when they're sick? Everyone who's sick wants to be well. Everyone who's sick wants to be whole. Why would Jesus even ask the question? It seems like one of those stupid questions. But I realized I was looking at it from my point of view. About 15 years ago, I put my back out, and when I did, I could barely move. My days consisted of rolling out of my bed, literally rolling out of my bed. I couldn't sit up. I'd roll over, get on all fours, crawl out to the living room, and then roll onto the futon. And then I'd be there for a few hours, roll off the futon, crawl into the washroom, crawl back. For about five days, that was all I did. I couldn't move. I couldn't stand up. I barely walk. I couldn't sit because I was in so much pain. After about the fifth day, I remember driving to work, and I worked at Regent College, and it was like a 15-minute drive from where I lived, and I was taking two Tylenol 3s because I was in pain, but every 5 minutes, I would have to pull over and get out of the car and stand up and stretch because I was in so much pain. And I remember thinking, I can't wait until I am better. I was just waiting for the day that everything was okay. For me, it doesn't make sense. Of course I want to be well. But the thing is, there are some people who live with disability or an illness or a problem, and they've lived with it for so long that they don't always want to be healed. They don't always want to be whole. They become used to living the way they are. They become used to the sympathy of others. They become used to using their problems as an excuse for their life. They use their illness as an excuse for being grouchy and miserable. They use their illness to get things easier. One of my region professors, who is also a psychologist, said that most people don't want to be cured of their problems. Most people who came to see him as a psychologist didn't actually want to be cured of their problems. Because whatever their problem is, it was now their excuse to continue doing what they were doing. And he said most people prefer the hell they know to the heaven they don't know. Let me say that again. Most people prefer the hell they know to the heaven they don't know. In other words, most people would rather stay in the condition they are currently in rather than change their lives for a life that could be so much better, because they don't know what that life, how good that life could be. They're afraid of that change. They're afraid of something different, even though it will be so much better than what it is now. And so as Jesus comes to this man, knowing that he'd been ill for 38 years, Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be whole?" Jesus doesn't ask him because he doesn't know the answer. Jesus asks him because he wants the man to think about it himself. Do you want to be whole? Jesus isn't just talking about physical healing, whether he wanted to be able to walk again, but he's asking if this man wants to be healed completely, inside out, everything. He's offering healing for his whole being, not just the physical body, but also his mind, his spirit, his soul, everything. Do you want to be whole? Yet look at his answer. The man doesn't actually answer Jesus' question. Maybe he didn't understand the question. Or maybe he did. But maybe he wanted to avoid it. But he uses a trick that I'm sure most of us have used when we get into trouble. Your parents ask you why you did something you shouldn't have done. And rather than answering your question, or answering the question, we try to divert to something else. Like for the younger people, you come home past curfew and your parents ask you, "Why are you so late?" And rather than answering why you're late, you say, "But everyone else gets to stay out later. How come I have to come home so early?" You don't answer the question. You deflect and point it somewhere else. And that's what this man does. He answers in verse 7, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." It's a nice answer, but it doesn't answer Jesus' question. Jesus is offering to make him whole. Do you want to be whole? He's offering him the heaven he doesn't know. But the man's scared. He's been like this for 38 years. He'd rather stay in the hell he knew. He'd rather stay like this than risk changing and not knowing what that change would be. He'd rather stay in his current condition than accept Jesus' offer for wholeness. It seems to me quite foolish to not jump at an offer to be made whole. It seems quite foolish to not jump at an offer to not only be physically whole, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually whole. But as I sit here and think, it's kind of foolish for this guy not to jump at this opportunity. I'm reminded to take a step back and see that maybe we're not all that different from this guy. Because Christ extends the same offer to us. But how quick are we to jump at that offer? He offers the opportunity to be whole. But instead of jumping at that offer, how often do we hum and haw about it? He offers us the opportunity to be whole and asks us to follow him in return. Yet don't we, "Well, I don't know. Well, I don't want to give up my dreams. I don't want to change this. I don't know." And instead of turning away from this world, and instead of turning away from our lives of sin and jumping at Jesus' offer, don't we often cling to our sin, afraid of letting go of that sin, afraid of giving our entire lives over to Jesus because we don't know what that would be like. Because we're afraid that Jesus will turn us into missionaries to go off to some faraway land or send us to some place that we don't want to go. So instead of turning our entire lives over to Jesus and jumping at this offer to be whole, we still cling to the hell we know. Instead of giving our lives over to Him completely, we cling to these things that we know, that we've become used to, we've become comfortable with, and we make excuses. Christ asks us to follow Him. And rather than jumping at this opportunity to be made whole and follow Him, we make excuses. But what about my family and friends? I don't want to leave them behind. What about my life, my dreams, what I've wanted to do all along? Do I have to give those things up too? Do I have to leave them all behind to follow You? We have an offer to be made whole, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, to be completely whole. But instead, instead of jumping at it, we hum and we haw. Instead of jumping at an opportunity to be in relationship with God, we cling to the things that we know, even though we know they're not good for us. Sometimes we give part of ourselves to Jesus. Sometimes we give certain parts over to Him and say, Lord, change this. You can have this part. But how often do we keep back other parts from Him and say, but Lord, this is mine. These dreams, the things that I want to do, these are mine and I'm not going to give it over to You. We're reluctant to give all of ourselves over to Him, even though He's offering to make us whole in every way. We cling to our past. We cling to our sin and we don't want to give it up. We cling to the hurts in our lives. We cling to just about anything else, even though we know it's not good for us. Even though we know deep down inside that what Jesus is offering is so much better than the hell that we're living in. Yet we'd rather continue living in that hell than we would enjoying the heaven that we don't know. Are we really, really that different from this man at the pool? I think the man's answer reveals part of his heart. I'm sure there's a part of him that wanted to be well, that had dreamed of the day that he could walk and be whole. But I'm guessing there's a part of him that had gotten used to being the way that he was. He'd gotten used to the life that he had. He may not have really liked the life he had, but he'd gotten used to it. And I'm guessing there's a part of him that would rather keep that life because he knew what to expect. He could go to the pool, lounge around at the pool all day. People will feel bad for him. Maybe give him a few bucks. Maybe give him some food. And it was easier to live like that than face the possibility that he would be made whole and have to work. Have to work for a living. Have to go out and find a job. So I'm guessing there's a part of him that while he wanted to be whole, there's a part of him that's afraid of what that wholeness would mean. He'd have to give up the life that he'd become accustomed to. He'd have to give up his illness as his excuse for not working. He'd have to give up his excuse for expecting people to give him things. He'd have to start working and taking care of himself. And for a person who hadn't really been able to move for 38 years, who hadn't had to worry about taking care of himself for 38 years, I'm sure it's a daunting thought. How do I go and get a job? What do I do? I've done nothing for 38 years. What do I do with my life? But there's probably also the sin in his life that he didn't want to give up either. We don't know what his life was like, but if Jesus were to make him whole, we know that his life would change drastically. And the thought of it changing so drastically probably scared him. In fact, we know that if his life did change drastically, because after Jesus made him whole, Jesus says to him in verse 8, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus told him to do things that he had never done in 38 years. Yet now the man is expected to get up, pick up his mat, and walk. For us, get up, fairly easy. For us, pick up a mat, not that hard. Walk, most of us can do that. But for a guy who's never hasn't done this for 38 years, he now has to pull himself up, pick up his mat, and start walking. His whole life was about to change. And after being questioned by the Jewish leaders, the man went to the temple, and it's there that he saw Jesus again after his life has changed. And verse 14 tells us that Jesus said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Jesus expected this man's whole life to change from being made whole, not just physically, but everything, emotionally, spiritually. His life was now completely going to change. And I think that's what we're afraid of too. We're afraid that our lives will change drastically if we give our lives over to Jesus. We're afraid that he's going to send us to be missionaries in some remote, faraway place. That was my fear. I was afraid that if I said I will go into ministry, God's going to send me to like the deepest, darkest corner of Africa by myself, and I'd be like crying in the corner every night. We're afraid that if we give every part of ourselves to Jesus to let him make us whole, that he's going to demand stuff from us that we don't want to give him. We've got this image that God is so mean and so petty that if we give ourselves over to him, he is going to demand from us the one thing that we don't want to do. Yet why do we think of God to be so petty? Why do we think that God would demand from us such the thing that we don't want to do the most? The only thing Jesus said to this man at first was, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." There's nothing bad there. Then afterwards he says, "Go and sin no more." Difficult to do maybe, but it makes sense. So why is it that we think that God is going to make us do the thing that we don't want to do the most? And so why are we so afraid to give our lives over to Jesus completely? Our dreams probably won't match what God has in store for us. But God's ways are definitely better than our ways. Our sinful way of life definitely won't match what God wants for us. But freedom from sin and eternity with Christ is so much better than a life of temporary pleasure. Maybe we're not that different from the man at the pool, clinging so desperately to the hell we know rather than jumping for a chance at the heaven we don't know. But just like the sick man, I think Christ asks us, do we want to be whole? Do you want to be whole? And I think that scares us, because if we want to be whole, we have to let Jesus into those dark parts of our lives, the areas of pain and hurt that we've been holding on to for so long, so that his love can heal those areas. We have to let Christ's light shine into those areas of sin that we're so ashamed of that we don't want anybody to know about. We have to let Christ set our dreams and our goals and our life for us instead of us holding out the dreams and the goals that we have for ourselves. And I think because of that, we're afraid to answer Jesus. We're afraid to give everything over to him, because we don't know what that heaven is going to look like. We know deep down that heaven is way better than the hell that we're in, but we're also afraid of that heaven. But we don't need to be afraid of that heaven. We don't need to be afraid, because that heaven means eternity with Christ. And if Christ loves us so much, most of us not accepting Christ's offer to be whole is so much higher than the possible cost of accepting his offer. The cost of not accepting that offer, of holding back parts of our lives, I think in the end is so much higher than giving our lives over to Christ completely, that it is so worth it for us to let go of the hell we know so that we can enjoy the heaven we don't know with the one who offers it to us so freely. Let's pray. Lord, it's not easy for us to give up what we are so comfortable with, what we are so familiar with, what we know, even though we know that it's not good for us, even though we know that you are so much better, that you are so much greater, that what you offer is so much greater than what this world can offer. Yet it's so hard for us sometimes to let go of our pains and our hurts, of our dreams, of our sins. Sometimes it's so hard for us to let go of those things, to let you make us whole. But Lord, we ask that you would still break us, shine your love and your light into those areas of our lives, even when we don't want to necessarily give it over to you. Just as even though the sick man at the pool never answered your question, you still brought wholeness to him. Lord, even when we're clinging on to the parts that we don't want to give to you, would you bring wholeness to us and draw us into eternity with you, into heaven with you, Lord. So Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now would we stand together?
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Let's pray. Go and bear witness to what an awesome and amazing God we worship, that he loves us so much, he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. Because we don't go alone, but we go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.